I was reading in the Psalms this morning, and I came to that place where the psalmist said, I have set the Lord always before me. And I thought, that really was the secret of his life, wasn't it? The secret of everything. The real source of comfort that he had in his life and the solution to every kind of problem or difficulty that he came into was the same thing they had in the book of Acts. There was that sense of awe that the Lord was present, where two or three would gather in his name, the Lord would be there. And now we know that we ourselves are the temple of the Lord, and his presence is in us, and especially where two or three go. And I was thinking in Acts about how 500 brethren met Christ after his resurrection. And if you could imagine all the kinds of people that would have been there, I mean, everybody was there. Probably Lazarus would have been there, or the widow's son from Nain, or the ruler's daughter that was healed, or people that had been cured from all kinds of plagues and disease, and the man of Gadara, the demoniac, would have been there, and Mary Magdalene, no doubt. People that had received their sight, like blind Bartimaeus or Zacchaeus, would have been there. And just, I don't know if you could just imagine all the people that might have been there. And now all of a sudden, it's like they have the Lord back again. He had been with them. They loved his presence. And he'd gone away. He'd gone into crucifixion and had been buried. But now he's risen. And he's here, and his presence is here, and they're listening to his words. And I just can't imagine the thrill that was in their hearts when he tells them that he's never going to leave them, never again, that he's going to be there with them until the very end of the world. And what a great promise that is, that to get the Great Commission to go out into all the world is a tremendous commission, to take the gospel everywhere. But then I think there was something even greater than that, and that's the promise of his presence, that he said that he'd be with those that would take his gospel to the farthest places of this earth. And so his presence is promised to those that would do his will, because all authority was given unto him. And because of that authority, he said, go, and I'll be with you. Now, I know, and I'm sure you know, that there's the omnipresence of God, that he's always there. The psalmist made this statement, you know, whither shall I go, or where shall I go from thy presence, from thy spirit? Where can I flee from your presence, Lord? I mean, if I ascend into heaven, then you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there also. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me, or uphold me. And there's just nowhere you can go from his presence. But what's being promised to us, I think, is even greater than the omnipresence of God. It is the very real presence of Jesus Christ to be with us. I mean, Adam and Eve, you remember, they tried to hide from the omnipresence of God, or maybe the real presence of God, but they couldn't. And Jonah, he tried to flee away from the presence of God when he was supposed to go to Nineveh, but he couldn't. And those that really know him and love him want to draw near to him. And when David, who wanted to draw so near to God, brought the ark back up to Jerusalem, you remember he said, glory and honor are in thy presence. And the very worst thing that David thought of that could happen in his life is if God would cast away his presence, or he would lose the presence of God. And yet we have the promise of the living Christ to be with us, to be alongside us, to be near us, to be in us. And so that's guaranteed. And it's guaranteed to a certain group of people, you might say. It's the people to whom he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. So go, take the gospel, go make disciples, go, and you know what? I promise to be with you. And lo, I'm with you all the days. You can never separate the go from the lo. It's really a missionary promise. If you're taking his word out and you're making disciples, then you have the assurance and the guarantee that he is with you. He promised it. And you might say, unless you're really prepared to be witnesses, then you can't really claim this promise in its fullness. But all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. And so go ye therefore, because I'm with you, then you're to go. And all things, he said, are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And the Lord does reveal his presence to those that go in obedience. And so all authority is given unto me. Go therefore, and I'm going to go with you. So it's a promise to certain persons, those that have his power, because he's given it to them, and they go. Now, the Lord needs us to go. We need him, and he needs us. And there are things he expects from me and you, and there's things that we expect from him. I remember reading in Matthew 21 where the Lord said to his disciples, I want you to go get this donkey or this ass, this colt, the foal of an ass, and I need them because I have to sit on them and fulfill prophecy because, for one, that's how Zechariah had prophesied I would come in to Jerusalem, and I need this beast of burden. You guys go get it because I need it. And to think that the Lord needs anything, but he does. And as he needed that beast of burden to fulfill his word, he needs you. He needs your hands. He needs your feet. He needs your mouth. He needs everything that you are to go do for him. And he expects you to do that. And then we expect him to be with us as we do that. And I know in my life as I think back that the closest times, the most intimate times when I've enjoyed his presence have been when I was going to carry the gospel out. And I thought about it and I thought, you know, there's been times when I've sat before the Lord's feet. There's been times that I've set aside for prayer and for fasting in my life. And during those times it's been wonderful and I've gotten great vision from the Lord. And I have, you know, sensed his closeness and I have sensed his presence. But as great as those times were, the times that I sensed his presence the most were the times when I was going out carrying the gospel. I can remember sensing his presence in Russia and in Belize, Honduras, in India, going out, or Australia, or Hungary, Austria. I think one of the times I sensed his presence the most was in Amsterdam, probably because where sin abounds, grace abounds more. And yet it was in these times of going that I really sensed the Lord. I can remember the first time arriving in Moscow and all I had was a phone number. I was by myself. I didn't know any Russian and I just had a phone number. And I remember there was a certain measure of concern and fear. And yet all during that time, there was a closeness and a nearness. The presence of the Lord was there. And he hooked me up and he got me squared away and he met every need, every step of the way and ended up being exactly where God wanted me to be and going where he wanted me to go. And it was the wonderful presence of the Lord. I remember it again, getting off, you know, of a plane in Punta Gorda and just, you know, not having any contact. And the Lord just immediately was so close, was so real. And there was that sense of just, I'm going with the Lord because I don't know what I'm doing. He's leading. He's guiding. He's taking the steps in front of me and he's beside me and I'm walking with him. And it's just a wonderful thing to enjoy his presence. And he says it'll be perpetual. It'll be with you, you know, always. He says, I'm with you. The great I am. I am the ever-present God. I'm with you all the days. I'm with you always. Even to the close of the age, perpetually, day by day, makes me think of the great hymn, Jesus, the very thought of thee, with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thy face to see, and in thy presence rest. Oh, the Lord is perpetually with us. And if you've got any kind of fear or concern or apprehension in your heart, then know that you're to fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. So there may come times in your life that are difficult, but really, can there ever be a time in your life that is so difficult that Christ would not be present and be your help? Well, of course not. I mean, even today, he's with you. He's with you when You're in those waiting times, those days when you have to be patient. He's there. He's in those days when you're working so hard and you're laboring fervently for the Lord. He's in those perilous days when things seem to be perplexing. He's in those peaceful days as well, in those glad days, the sad days. He's in the birthdays. He's in the death days. Every day. I mean, Calvary Day and Easter Day, the sad day and the glad day. And you know, Calvary and Easter were really only one day apart. The Lord's always there. He's present. And he said he'd be present till when? Till the end of the age. So the Lord's presence is with you today if you're going and you're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And he's not talking about the end of the world, the material things, the end of the cosmos, so much as he's talking about, you know, the end of the present world order. He means that, not that he's going to withdraw his presence then, but he's going to be with us until then. And, you know, in all their affliction, we read in the Old Testament, in Isaiah 63:9, in every bit of their affliction, he says that the angel of his presence was there. He was afflicted with them, and the angel of his presence saved them. The Lord is with them then. He's with us now in a beautiful way, and the angel of his presence will save them. Remember when Gabriel came to Mary, and he was given the announcement, and I thought it was interesting what he said to Mary. He says, you know, I stand in the presence of God. In other words, really what he was doing was, he was bringing the presence of God to Mary. And oh, how the Lord Jesus Christ has brought the presence of the triune God to us, because he said he is in the bosom of the Father. He abides in the Father. He is so close that he can describe himself. He's so near and so present with the Father that he's in the bosom of the Father. And that one that's so near to God can only be explained in his relationship to us, that he's in us and we are in him, abiding. As he's abiding in the bosom of the Father, we are abiding in him, and he's abiding in us. What a great relationship. And yet I think so many times we can go through a day and we forget to recognize the presence of the Lord. And I believe that in this age to come, his presence is just going to grow greater. It's called the parousia. It's actually called the presence of the Lord. He's gonna come down and he's gonna be with us. The coming of the Lord. The parousia, translated presence. So at the end of this age, there's going to be a more glorious presence of the Lord than we even know now. Because we'll be changed and he'll be present. And so know that you're never alone. The Lord's always with you. And that changes your life, doesn't it? If the Lord's with you today, everything will be different in the way you face this day. If you acknowledge his presence and have his guidance, if you acknowledge him in everything, he's going to be with you. He's going to be directing your path. He's going to be leading you. If you acknowledge his presence, then even sin's going to be different to you today, because everything you do will be in his presence, in his sight. You'll be so aware that he's there that you can't go anywhere where the Lord is not, and that he's always with you. You know, that's why I think in 1 John 5:18, the Apostle John says, we know that whatsoever is born of God doesn't commit sin, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and the wicked one doesn't touch him. You know, he's begotten of God, and God keeps him. Himself can actually mean that God keeps him, because God is present. God can keep you. He that is begotten of God, the only begotten and well-beloved Son, you can say he keeps you. It's not our doing, it's his doing, because he's with us and his presence is here. That's his blessed work. He'll keep you from sin, especially when you acknowledge his presence and you're aware that he's with you. So, what a blessed promise to be with us. And we don't need to fear anything, because if he's with us and protecting us and keeping us, then we have everything we need. There's nothing that he will not supply. And the Lord's not going to send you somewhere and have you do something that he's not going to supply your needs for. I mean, his presence is everything. So enjoy his presence today. Now, this unique relationship is such that if we're together, then there are things that I have to do for him that he cannot do for himself, you might say, because he's in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he's interceding for us. And there are things that need to be done on earth, and he needs you to do them. He needs me to do them. And then there are things that we can't do for ourselves, you know, just about everything, and we expect him to do it. And so there's a wonderful relationship that takes place. He expects me to do things for him, but I expect him to do them in and through me. I mean, he needs me to speak today. He needs you to speak today. He needs you to do things for him, and he needs me to do things for him. And particularly, the one thing that he mentioned before he left was, all authority is given to me, and I need you to carry the gospel to the regions beyond. I need you to go out. I need laborers to be raised up, and we even pray that. Lord, raise up laborers to go out into your harvest field, because there has to be this kind of cooperation with the Lord. Oh, well, you know, what a beautiful picture of the relationship that's there. Remember Paul when he stood in Nero's court? Remember what he said? He said, notwithstanding the Lord stood by me, or the Lord stood with me. Oh, when everybody else leaves you and you're standing there alone, Paul again says, the Lord will stand by me. And the psalmist says, even when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. He always does. So, you know, as Paul said again in Philippians 4:5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You know, moderation can actually be translated sweet reasonableness or yieldedness. Your sweet reasonableness and your yieldedness known, because the Lord's at hand. His presence is there. And if his presence goes with us, then what are we concerned about? Moses made that statement. The promise that was given to Moses was, my presence shall go with thee. And if you remember, Moses asked, and this was a very definite and a wise, specific prayer that Moses made. He said, if thy presence go not with me, then carry me not up hence. Moses was saying, if you're not going with me, Lord, I just don't want to go at all. And that's the way we should all feel today. The Lord is with you. Thou art with me to the very end. So Joshua perceived pretty much the same thing. In Joshua 12:31, he says, this day we perceive that the Lord is with us. And that made all the difference in the world. So the Lord, who is your shepherd, is with you. I think it's interesting that when you look at the pictographs of the catacombs, then almost, or at least the largest majority of all the drawings that are in the catacombs, picture the Lord as the shepherd. And oh, the shepherd with the lamb, the kid laying on his shoulders, very near to the Lord. The good shepherd's heart going out to his people. He gave himself for us. Oh, Ezekiel 34 in verse 11 to 15 makes this statement. Thus says the Lord, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and I'll seek them out. That's the Lord's heart. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers. And in all the inhabited places of the country, I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall their fold be. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. In other words, the Lord is our shepherd, and we don't need to want anything or to lack anything, because he's with us. And when he's with us, he makes us lie down in the green pastures. And when he's with us, he leads us today beside the quiet or the still waters. And if he's with you today, he'll restore your soul. If he's with you, he'll guide you into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake as you acknowledge him. And if he's with you, it doesn't matter. You can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It makes no difference. If he's with you, you don't fear the evil, because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And if he's with you, he can prepare a table right before you in the very presence of your enemies. And he'll anoint your head with oil, and he'll cause your cup to overflow. And not only that, if he's with you, then you can count on this. Surely and truly, absolutely, then goodness will follow you. Loving kindness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And the greatest of all is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, everything is about the presence of the Lord. And I wonder today, have you this day set the Lord before you? As the psalmist said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he gives that special promise to you. That's how he equipped his disciples. He came right alongside them. He called them so that they could be with him and he could walk with them and they could enjoy that apprenticeship of being with him until he would entrust things for them to do. And he did. And they learned because his presence is really what we need. In the early church, they had that sense of awe and they enjoyed the Lord's presence. They acknowledged him. They called upon him and they prayed. And we do now that his kingdom would come and his will would be done. Oh, how we trust that he'll give us daily bread and he'll keep us from our enemies and he'll work that forgiveness in our heart and his kingdom's going to come and be done on this earth. But oh, how we need today to enjoy his presence. So I hope that as you go through this day, you'll set the Lord always before you and you'll enjoy his presence as you obey him to take the gospel to the people nearest you. For his glory we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.